Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 294, part 1, Facts or False 2. Today is Friday, May 31st, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Today's tape is entitled Facts or False Number 2. Luke 13:6-9. Before I start, Friday we ministered on fact-finding or fault-finding and its terrible dangers. Terrible dangers to the fault finders. In the Psalms, Psalm 59:4, David states his case. And he says, they run and prepare themselves without my fault. In other words, they obey their cruel leader. They run at once before they even know what my fault really is and if it's factual. And whilst they are going, they are buckling on and harnessing up as they go to do battle. They're so hasty in their decision that when the word is dropped, that, oh, did you hear the latest? Then they pick up their weapons and they run and find fault when they don't really know if it has any effect behind it at all. They never check out, in other words, the fault. And these are the expert fault finders. And today we're going to find out just how fruitless such action is. And Jesus begins telling his parable in Luke 13:6-9. And he says, a certain man had a fig tree which had been planted in his vineyard. And he came looking for fruit on it and did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up ground? And he answered and said to him, let it alone, sir, for a year, until I dig around it and put fertilizer under it, and if then it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down. Now, this story of the barren fig tree has a very interesting background. I think it's important to get into backgrounds to really have the fact. A group approaches Jesus and tells him a very gruesome tale. They said that one day there were some Galileans who were then offering sacrifices to God, and along come some Roman soldiers who, under orders, it goes on, from Pilate, killed all the worshiping Galileans. Then they mixed the blood of the animals and the Galileans together. And they said, what terrible sinners these Galileans must have been. This was their thought. This was their just. This was their thinking then. That whenever there is a great suffering, there is, of course, a great sin. This, in that day, was the faith of such men. Well, you must have really did something wrong to suffer like you're suffering. And as we read on in the Bible, the same was the faith of the disciples themselves. Who did sin? They asked one day when they beheld a man born blind. This man or his parents? And I've heard people even say this when they have sickly children. Well, I must have done some, God's punishing me for something. Oh, how ignorant that really is. And then we go on and we find it in the Bible, it talks about Job's friends. Their faith was very much the same. And it says that his friends came to comfort him when he had lost his family and his farm and all of his cattle. And this goes on and it says he had boils all over his body. And they ended up accusing him of some great sin. And I thought, you know, they're about as comforting as a room full of mosquitoes and deer flies. And even today, a lot of people that I counsel, when a tragedy comes their way, what did I do to deserve this? That's their thinking. That's their method of dealing with things. So you see, the conviction that all suffering is the direct result of sin is still popular today. Well, we got killed. Well, that's what he gets. That's God dealing with him. Or their child. That's God dealing with him. And that's the way we look at things. Right now, I'm talking about Christians. Of course, in the world, there's a lot of people that think that way also. Although I am very much thrilled at what's going on in the world when I look at the Oliver Norse. And I see people coming to the defense. Sort of makes me think, boy, there is some kind of a poetic justice in this whole thing. But you know, Jesus didn't share this view, doesn't now. He knew it wasn't that cut or it wasn't that dried. He knew that there is suffering that is not born directly of sin. He also knew that there are those who suffer not because they are evil, but because they are good. I am sure that there are a lot of people out there that have to make decisions for good that aren't popular. I am sure there are many of you that have made decisions with your families that are good, but they're not popular. You have to take that course of action, and you do that good and you suffer because it's not a popular thing to do. Maybe someone will say, well, what good will that cause? But you already know in your heart what you're to do. You've already thought it out. You've already prayed about it. You've already maybe been through a situation in your life. And as a direct result of that, you can make a sound decision. Well, this is the way it was with Jesus. Had he been less good, I believe he would have certainly suffered less. In other words, do you admit you were wrong? He could have said, yes. He could have went off with the Greeks when they said, well, we're looking for some interesting person to come and minister to us. Come and tell us about your God. And I'm sure that he could have got out of the thing. Yes, there is suffering all about us that I believe is not directly traceable to the sin of the one who suffers. And yet, while this is true, it is also true that all sin does eventuate in suffering. And I believe that's obvious with the sins of the flesh. Well, AIDS for one thing. All kinds of diseases for another thing. And so, yes, that is obvious on the other hand, but not always true. And so Jesus came in contact with this again and again and again and again. Where, oh, boy, you must have done something real wrong to be suffering like you are. And of course, now in this day and age when we don't receive any kindness, I just don't receive sufferings. I've heard people say, I don't receive it. And they have a great big gash in their arm. Well, you got a gash. I don't receive it. You've already received it. Look at the prostitute who was about to be stoned. Your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. But then again, not only do open and vicious acts of wrong and wrongdoing result in a sort of a suffering, but I think it is also true of a more respectable sin of neglect. How many are hearing this? There is a sin of neglect. Have you neglected something today? You, have you neglected anything today? That is a sin. And so the loose man that wastes his substance with riotous living, the Bible says, is headed for a terrible, terrible disaster. But so also is the man that fails in his duty. Someone that has something to do for the Lord and doesn't do it. And so here we are. A hard, vicious man will reap what he sows. Whatever you're sowing. If you are a grump, and you're sowing grumpiness, you're going to get grumpiness back again. How many heard that one? Well, have you had your grump today? Huh? Well, there's always one right around the corner. The grumpy fault finder. Say amen, somebody. Whatever you sow, so also shall ye reap. It'll come right back to you. Like a boomerang. And so when we read this Luke 13, 6 through 9, I think this story illustrates the truth of this. And the facts about this fig tree, oh, they're great. I think, number one, it was a planted tree. This is not a tree of chance. It didn't just happen. Somebody planted it. This also is true of all of your lives. You're listening on the radio to this tape. You're not here by chance. God plans every life. Yeah. I mean, the whole Bible cries out of this. Jesus said, God gives to every man his work. Oh, that is such a dirty word in the Christian circles today, work. Are you hearing this? God gives to every man his work, and Jesus tells his disciples then, as the Father has sent me into the world, even so I send you into the world to work. Is what he's talking about. Jesus was sent into the world to work. And it worked. And even also, as he was sent into the world, so also he says, I send you into the world to work. And so God planned out the life of Jesus Christ, and he plans our lives out also. Well, then someone asked the question, what is the purpose of the fig tree? To bear fruit? Yeah. It is to give an account of itself in terms of figs. It wasn't created, in other words, for its own privilege or for its own opportunity. God did not create you to live totally within yourself. What a miserable existence to totally live within yourself in all your ails and all your illnesses and all your complaints, and to totally be that type of person that's introverted in his thinking. Sort of hurts like an ingrown toenail. I hope this message hurts you listening on the radio like an ingrown toenail. Every time you step on it, you're going to have to say, ouch. Ooh. You know, when you have one removed, it really hurts, doesn't it? But doesn't it feel good after the hurt stops? No, you are here to serve. And if you're not serving, you are going to be miserable. I'm not talking about serving with your lips and fault finding. That's so easy to do. That's the popular thing to do. I'm talking about serving. And so God's purpose is not that every man should live unto himself. That will end up with you being fruitless. That will end up with you being a fault finder. You find someone that isn't doing anything, he's going to be a miserable fault finder. Know what I mean? I went in the cafe the other day, and the waitress sort of jarred this guy's coffee, and he had just a terrible grump. Jarred his coffee a little bit, and a little bit sloshed in the saucer. I mean, he jumped up like all of his clothing was just totally ruined. Well, huh? Well, I said, praise God, not a lick of it got on you, sir. And I thought, oh, how he wishes The whole cop would have went out, give him something to talk about. For the whole week, I went in that cafe and they spilled hot coffee all over me. Huh? How many are hearing this message today? See, we are not to sit, but to stand. Now, my grandpa had a saying, never stand when you can sit, never sit when you can lay. And grandma did all the work. No, we're not to sit, but we're to stand. We're not to lean, but we're to lift. We're not to hinder, but we're to help. We're not to sit on the sidelines and criticize the players. How easy that is. Once in a while, someone will come and do a nice thing, and then you hear about it for a whole 10 years. About how screwed up you are and what a nice thing they did for you. And you're screwed up. Place. And so while they help you, they are a hindrance. So we have hindering helpers that come and they hinder when they help. And they're worse. You never know what. Well, I'll be coming around the mountain when I come, people. I'll say, well, can you come down? Why don't you commit yourself for 1 hour a week? No, I want to come down every day, 7 days a week, 9 hours a day. They're sort of a penance they're doing. Are you hearing this? We are not to sit, I said, on the sidelines and criticize the players. But we are to get into the game and help win the victory. And that's the facts. Think about this, folks. There is more soap opera on the telephones in Minneapolis than there is on TV. Well, listen to this phone call. Pray for you know who. You're listening on the radio, you know who. That way I don't have to use any names. Pray for you know who. And then the question comes, why? And then comes a 2-hour soap opera. The Bible says, bear one another's burdens, not share one another's burdens on the telephone. Bear in prayer, not share with those who don't care. You'll end up getting off the phone with a gut ache. That's why there's so much indigestion in our country. Acid gut. How do you spell it? How do you spell relief? S-H-U-T-U-P. Shut up. I think if they would put that on the TV and tell people if they'd only shut their mouths, they wouldn't have so much acid indigestion. Simply shut up. You're souring your own personality, your own person. You're poisoning your person. That's how you spell it. No, I'll bet the Pharisees had upset stomachs every day. I bet they're running, oh man, I got a gut ache. Ooh, I bet you could hear them in there moaning. They thought they were chanting. They were moaning. Ooh, huh? See, because they were more hurtful than they were helpful. And so the fact that God has put every one of us here for a helpful purpose means we can all be helpful. Every one of us in here can be, and you listening on the tape or to the radio, can be of some help. Or You can be of some hurt. Well, I've had a miserable life. I don't feel like helping anybody. Golly, wow. Nobody ever helped me. Isn't that popular? Nobody loves me. Why should I love anybody? Well, that's why they don't love you. It's easy to love somebody who loves you. Can you love the unlovable? Can you love someone that's unlovable? You know what happens when you love someone that's unlovable? Chances are they'll become lovable. How else are you going to improve in your love? Loving someone that just smiles and does a backflip every time you smile at them? See, the Bible's saying we can really be a genuine servant if we will. And so do you want to bear fruit? Do you want to be helpful? Do you want to be a cheerleader preaching love and preaching forgiveness? Or do you want to be a fear leader preaching doubt and pout? Ever been around a pouter? Pouting all the time? Wake up pouting. In their sleep, they're even asleep. When you look at them and they're sleeping, they're pouting when they're asleep. Next, notice the fig tree is in the vineyard. It's saying this, that it is planted in a place of peculiar privilege. It has special opportunities. And Christians, we are planted in such earth, love's soil, is that we can give out special, and we're in a place of special privileges where we can bear fruit and do wondrous things with what God has given us. Protection. You have protection. You have everlasting, eternal life, okay? You have culture. I think that is true of many of us. I've seen people that are born into a Christian home. Totally don't know anything about the outside world. And they come down here and they just cannot understand. And I've had kids that come from the suburbs and I said, well, I never was aware there was any poverty at all. Well, I said, of course not. You didn't live where there was any. Yeah, they all say the same thing. Well, you know, I wasn't aware. I didn't know there was any kind of suffering like this. And they've been brought up in a Christian home. They've never had any kind of suffering. They've never been in any kind of real temptation type things. Although we're all tempted. And they've lived a protected life. See, these opportunities are not to be used for ourselves alone. That's like a good and faithful steward. Now, let's say that you acquire $1 million. You say, I got $1 million. What are you going to do with it? Well, I'm going to invest in it, and then I can draw the interest off and live happily ever after. Well, you might die tomorrow. Be ready to die at any time, folks. Now see this baby sitting down here with his mother right in the front row down here? You say you can't see her? Look a little harder. My dear, that baby is terminal. It's going to die. Born to die. It's part of living. Never know when that sand is going to run out in your life. Might be today, might be tomorrow, might be 100 years from now. I don't know. Fact being is, you have been challenged for this day. You'll be challenged for the next day. Take one day at a time. Are you hearing this? You're born in a country where you have freedom of religion. And you're born in a country where you have freedom to read your Bible. And we're losing that, though. In some place of Florida, I guess you can only have like two people in the house. You can't draw the shades and you can't have that Bible in there. You can't form a group of people together. And so these opportunities, they increase our obligations to be of service to others. What are you doing for somebody else? And so now it says, now we have here a planted tree in a place of a very special privilege, where fruit was rightfully expected, but it failed to completely fulfill the purpose for which it was planted. Has the Lord planted you in a place hoping that you would produce fruit? Like right here, for instance, because we are here. Or for you on your radio, what are you doing? What are you doing where you're planted? Nothing, you say? Do you think you're safe and doing nothing? Doing nothing? Did you know, listening on a radio, that the most terrible sin is to do nothing? Is to belong to the family of God and have the attitude, I'm not going to do anything, I don't want to get involved, I'm a do-nothing. And even worse than doing nothing is when you look for a speck in your brother's eye when there's a log, a 2x4, hanging out of your eye. Why do you look for the speck in your brother's eye? Jesus was saying this with humor. Never ceases to amaze me how people think God has no sense of humor at all. He's a God of laughter. He has to have a sense of humor to put up with us. I would say that would take a great amount of a sense of humor, wouldn't you? But as the Lord planted you in a place and you're not doing anything, well, I just believe God planted me at home. Oh, man. A potted plant, and God just planted me at home. I'm just planted at home, yes. Now, I'm not talking for you to go out and be a women libber. Okay? Not talking about that. Well, God just told me, so your husband has to eat TV dinners every night. Now, I'm not talking about that. Let's have a little balance here, okay? Or for you to run off to Israel, go to all these different seminars and everything, and old hubby has to eat these old TV dinners. You understand that? And they have a if you could check him in for payment, he could probably get $1 million out of the thing in the course of your life. I'm not talking about that. But God just told me to stay right here, and I'm planted in my house. Now, I don't believe that. I'm sorry, I don't believe it. Are you hearing this? Oh, nothing. No, you have to allow your roots to take hold. You have to get out there and get rooted and grounded in some kind of work for the Lord. Shallow roots, no fruits. I say this, go on out and do something for the Lord and get your feet planted firmly in the soil of God's love soil before you have foot rot. Oh, maybe you'll produce a few bitter little dwarf figs, or maybe a few wormy little green bitter apples, or some sour grapes, vinegar lips. But anyway, the owner came in search of fruit and found none, and he waited and came again, only to be disappointed again. And he comes again, still no big trunk, large leaves, a lot of rustle, but no hustle, not too tall, but has long branches so it can lean on other trees when a storm comes for support. No wonder he ordered it cut down. It had failed to fulfill its purpose for which it was planted. And when the owner came in search of fruit, it had none. It had been planted, it had been cultivated, it had been protected, but still no fruit. Hey, this can happen to any of us. God plants us in a work, and we can be cultivated and we can be protected, but we never receive. But we never stand, we lean. But we never give, we take. But we never share, we tear. But we never encourage, we discourage. We become so busy checking out other people's growth instead of reaching for the sun that we don't grow ourselves and we don't bear fruit and we know everybody's business but our own and we become fault finders that are fruitless. And see, this is a fact that God plans our lives, but we don't always do His will, do we? And you know, He will not compel us to carry out His plan. See, He is the architect. We are the builders and we are the receivers. He is the giver of all. And I right now must encourage you, God has a beautiful, wonderful plan for everybody, especially in this end age. And we are approaching, folks, World War III right now. Whilst I'm talking right here, it could happen any minute. We're playing hot potato right now with the freighters over there. Hot potato, hot potato. Who's got the hot potato? Now is the time to shine. Now is the time to come in at that evening hour. And you know what? If you'll come in, you're listening on the radio at the evening hour to go out in the field, your reward will be the same that those have been out there for a dozen years doing it. Well, golly, wow, that ain't fair. That's the way it is. Don't be fault-finding with folks that just come in at the midnight hour. Be thankful that they came in at all. Sometimes someone gets saved after years and years and years of fault-finding and not doing anything. And we become rubbed. It causes a friction within us when we see them excel and go ahead and be used of God. We've been a Christian for 25 years. Yeah, but for the most part, a dried up, fruitless one. Yeah, we become so busy checking out everybody else that we don't grow. We don't bear fruit. Are you hearing this? He has a great plan. But what if we fail? But we may not grow. We may not bear fruit. Well, that's what some people are doing. Are you hearing this? Every day the Bible says He comes searching for it. And so we build up a lot of excuses why we are not fruitful. And usually we say someone else is the fault. Then we go on with a two-hour explanation of why we are not involved and why we are not giving out any fruit. And you can talk to that person 10 years down the line and they have the same excuse why they're not doing anything, and it's usually on account of somebody else. That hasn't got nothing to do with somebody else. What are you doing? Now it seems like there's a great amount of people that like to listen to that junk. And so we refuse to enter into His purpose for our lives. I thought to myself, what would be the results of such a failure? The most obvious one I come up with, the most obvious, the result is uselessness. When you won't do anything, you become useless. What a terrible feeling that is, to become useless. Anybody else? Anybody in here want to be? There's people that wait for retirement. Boy, I used to work with a guy. He was 30 years old. Boy, when I retire, I says, you won't be the same person when you retire as you are right now. You won't have no hair. You'll be all wrinkled. You know, you won't be able to run around the track like you used to. Huh? And you know, even by waiting for that to happen, he became useless then. See, waiting for something to happen makes you useless. You don't wait for something to happen, you cause it to happen. Maybe there's someone you should tell, hey, I am sorry, I was wrong. And you don't do that. And sit around waiting for that person. Well, you become useless.
That was episode 294, part 1, Facts or Faults 2. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame. Maybe living in another country under another name. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread, maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be.
Serve somebody.